Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. One of the things you guys might have noticed right away is that my intro is shorter. That was one of the complaints that I got from people who listen to my podcast for the first time. Like, yeah, your intro is a little long. You know what? Your intro was a little bit long. It's like, okay, you know what? I hear that a lot. Yeah, it's time to shorten this piece up. So the first intro was like 45 seconds long. That's good podcast real estate, you know, that I've wasted. So I've done you guys a solid, and I have shortened my intro. In fact, I re-recorded it all together. Made it sound a little bit more clear, hopefully a little bit more crisper. Definitely a lot more shorter, more enjoyable, and things of that nature. So I hope you guys appreciate that, and it'll at least give you guys another, 25 seconds more of some podcasts to listen to. So there it is. The fans have spoken. The people have spoken, and I have responded. So, yeah, hope you appreciate that. Anyway, today's going to be a good podcast episode. This week I'm going to be doing a review of Shazam. I went and saw the movie a few nights back, and I'm going to be giving my opinions on that movie, as well as doing a bit of car talk, a little bit more shenanigans about the DMV, not too much, but just what's involved in that and some stories. And then when you're going to get a car, you know, a few little tips that I got from some experiences that I've seen working that I think will help out. And I used to sell cars myself, so I'll be able to give you guys some tips and tricks with that, hopefully. Again, I'm no expert per se, but you know, I think it's a little helpful. I used to sell cars, and now I work for the DMV, so I've seen a few things. I got a little bit of knowledge there. So whatever I'm talking about in the segments here in this week's show, I'm hoping you guys will like and appreciate that and find it a little useful. All right. So let's go ahead and get started with today's show. So I went to go see the new Shazam film that came out a couple days ago, starring Zachary Levi and a few other stars that Mark Strong. Those are the two major stars in the film. I'm going to try to make this relatively spoiler free for those of you who haven't seen it yet. I'm not going to be that dude that hates and just totally ruins the whole movie for everybody, because there's definitely a lot of surprises in the movie that are pretty good, man. There are a lot of things in the movie that are great, a lot of good surprises that I liked, a lot of things that I really, really enjoyed. I want to say it was about season two, I talked about how DC needs to focus on just making regular movies, just make like these one-shot stories, tell a story, you know, based on a particular superhero, and that should be their style of film. Don't try to compete. Don't try to be like Marvel. And I said that was how they were going to win. That is exactly what I feel like DC is doing. And they are doing very well. This is the third film in the row that they come out with a solo film that was way better than expected. Was extremely well done. Now granted, it has its flaws. It does have its flaws. But you know, for what it was trying to accomplish and what it was trying to do, did an amazing, amazing job. This film was compared to Big. I don't know if any of you guys my age, I'm an 80s baby. So those of us who are familiar with the movies from the 80s, there was a Tom Hanks movie called Big. And pretty much it's Tom Hanks who made a wish that he was grown up, and he woke up next morning, he was all grown up. He was going around town doing everything a grown-up would do and wanting to be grown, pretty much. Big lesson movie, don't grow up too fast, enjoy your childhood, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Fast forward 2019, Shazam. That is exactly what this movie was, but with a superhero, you know, magical twist. Okay. This movie was so good, and you know, they even paid some homages to the film, which was kind of neat. Not going to tell you what they were. Again, us 80s babies, when you guys see it, you'll know it, and you'll be like, ha, okay, I see what you did there. Good one. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the movies. The young actor who played Billy Batson is very convincing young kid. I forget his name off the top of my head, but I know he was in a Disney show called Andy Mack, and he was a pretty good little actor there. And he came on to play Billy Batson, which was, I think, is his first major blockbuster film role. And the kid did a great job. Did really, really good in his role playing Billy. The major story, mild spoiler, just pretty much a boy trying to find, pretty much, well, it's not really a spoiler. It's a young boy trying to find his family. And if you go and watch the movie, you'll see one of the ways he tries to do that. But at the end, of course, he finds out what that family is. And, you know, I was happy with it because it was really a story that actually had a lot of heart to it. It was very emotional, but wasn't too over the top. You know how some of those movies try to get all sappy and emotional? I mean, it definitely had its emotional points. Most definitely. And if you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about, but it definitely had its moments, but it was done very well. And I think very tastefully, because sometimes when you try to shove lessons down people's throats, you know, think about family and all that. It's like, come on. Like, we know that's what the film's about. Like, you don't got to tell us a bunch of times. His foster, brothers and sisters, in the movie, they're pretty much the supporting characters, were very well done. Great little actors and actresses in the movie. I enjoyed them a lot. I really, really enjoyed his little sister, the little girl, the young little black girl who plays Billy's foster sister. She was the sweetest, cutest little thing with her crooked teeth. And she was too cute. And she was one of the favorites in that. And the dynamics with the foster parents in the film, it was just well done. It was a cast of a lot of unknowns that we didn't know, actors and actresses that we didn't know. So it was nice to see brand new actors and actresses where it wasn't so star-studded that it just overshadowed everything. Comparing this movie with, you know, even Aquaman, you know, you still had, you had some big names that pretty much was going to be the identity of the movie, which pretty much had to sell it. You know, you had Nicole Kidman, you had Jason Momoa. I forget the guy who played Ocean Master, but you had him in the film. You had Dolph Lundgren, you know, so you had some names in there that pretty much helped for promotional purposes. And I think Shazam still had its big names, but big enough to where they were still recognizable, but not so much that it overshadowed, you know, the core of the film. It wasn't a Zachary Levi film, you know, or it wasn't a Mark Strong film, you know, which is generally what you'll get when you go to see these blockbuster movies. Aquaman was a Jason Momoa film, but his supporting cast was so good that, you know, they balanced him out very well. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, you know, and Chris Pine, you know, those are the two big stars. They helped carry the film, but I mean, again, amazing job. But they balanced it out by having a lot of unknown actors. Shazam really carried that unknown actor, you know, face throughout the whole film. I'm going to kick myself in the face. The actor who plays the Wizard Shazam, Dijon Musson, or something, he's a French actor, black brother from Black Diamond, played the Wizard Shazam. Very cool, very funny. For the short time he was in the film, he did an amazing job as the Wizard Shazam. Very, very cool. Those of you who know the history of Shazam and what he's about, you know, his power is based on magic. That's why against him, Superman, they're like, it's kind of a fun little fight because does Superman beat Shazam? Whatever. They're pretty much almost equal, in a sense. And the only reason why Shazam's kind of got an upper hand on Superman is because Shazam is based on magic. Bloop. That is. But I still think Superman's better. But Zachary Levi played a very, very convincing. He played a very convincing adult being a kid. I mean, from the time the kid Billy Batson was, he was playing his role to when he transformed into Shazam, there was no distinction, direct distinction. I still believe Zachary Levi was still playing Billy Batson. And I think sometimes that can be very, very hard at times when you're doing that, because when you're playing this type of role, you want to try to act all super, and you kind of have a way that you feel you're supposed to act. But I think Zachary really channeled in the character, and instead of playing Shazam, he really focused on playing Billy, who had the opportunity to be a superhero. He's playing a kid who got to be a superhero. It just so happened that he had an adult, he was doing it in an adult's body, and he did so well with it. So based on that, Zachary Levi was an amazing choice. He did so good in the role. He was so much fun to watch, and everything. Mark Strong played Dr. Silvana, I believe, who was the pretty much the vessel of the seven deadly sins, and he was ruthless. Ruthless dude. I mean, man, great job, bravo, Mr. Strong. I mean, he did good. Now, some of us who might not remember, I want to say that he was also Sinestro in the Green Lantern film, the big huge sleeper film, and I don't mean sleeper in a good way. I fell asleep during that movie. Garbage. That's just my personal opinion, but Green Lantern was trash. I might need to watch it again though. I should watch it again to get a fresh take and a fresh view on it, because I'm really hating on Green Lantern. But anyways, I believe he was Sinestro, but he comes into this role as a villain again, as Dr. Silvana, and does a great job. Some of you Smallville fans out there, like myself, will recognize, definitely recognize some Smallville alumni in the movie. I was very happy to see that, and seeing that they, remembered the people. Some of the actors in Smallville were very good. There were some standout actors for sure. I'm not gonna name who they are. You gotta go see the movie to find out who they are. But it was nice to see them still in that DC universe and doing their thing in the movie. See, I almost gave it away. It was really cool. Played a great part. But hats off to Mark Strong for playing Dr. Silvana. The special effects in the movie, this is probably my only gripe about the film. In that aspect, I feel like the film was rushed. I honestly feel that this movie probably could have been delayed a little bit longer for the sake of polishing the film more. Special effects wise, they could have done a little bit better. It was very sloppy in my opinion. There's a lot of scenes in the film where it's very obvious that the special effects were either incomplete or just kind of hacked and thrown together. And there's a couple scenes in the movie where Zachary Levi is Shazam, he's flying for the first time, and it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. I feel like they could have, I would have been a little bit smarter with it and, held it back some to polish the film a little bit more special effects wise, make everything a little bit more cleaner, make everything a little bit more polished and more presentable. And that's the one thing I would probably say about the film. The film wasn't presentable special effects wise. Compare it to Wonder Woman, compared to Aquaman, which Aquaman too had its moments, but there were very few, very, very little. Shazam had them all over the place. And I think their biggest mistake was knowing that in Avengers Endgame was coming out, they rushed it. They rushed it. coming out before Avengers Endgame, again trying to compete, which they shouldn't have done. They came out with a sloppy presentation of a film, special effects wise. Story wise, it's on point. It's wonderful. It is a good story. They did very well. The chemistry between the actors is good. All of that is done very well. Character designs are awesome. Shazam looks incredible. Dr. Savanna looks great. The special effects with the Seven Sins looks good. Looks good. Again, they're ones who I think I would have polished them up a little bit more too. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, again, visually, it should have been cleaned up a lot more. And I think it was a mistake to rush it so much, you know, because they're trying to compete with Marvel. I think they probably should have waited. In fact, in my opinion, I think Shazam would have been a nice, kind of like how Ant-Man and the Wasp was after Infinity War. After Infinity War, we was all traumatized, right? Okay, so they gave us Ant-Man and the Wasp. It was a fun film. It was kind of neutral. It made us remember what we was watching at the end, in the end credit scenes. But it was a nice, refreshing taste in our mouths for a while. I think that's what Shazam should have been. And I think they should have come out after Endgame. Again, that's just my opinion. Because that would have been a nice chaser, if you will, right? You got the heaviness of Avengers Endgame. If they wanted to compete, you know, they got the heaviness of Avengers Endgame. I mean, it's going towards the end of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Or the, I won't say the end, the long pause, because there is a Phase 4. The long pause of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then you've got, you know, then you come up with Shazam, which is a good movie, good story, good everything. And then, but more polished, more presentable, and much more clean, special effects wise. I think that would have been a bigger hit out of the park. Now, my opinions on how it's going to do in the box office. Though it was a good movie, a really good movie. I don't think it's going to do as well as anticipated. This is just my opinion. I don't think it's going to hit the high numbers. I mean, it's going to hit high numbers. It's going to definitely hit high numbers. But I don't think it's going to get to the numbers like Wonder Woman. I think it'll probably hit Aquaman numbers. You know? I think it'll go there and it'll plateau out. It'll stay steady for a while. DC needs to continue this pattern, though. These individual movies where they're telling individual stories, or self-contained stories within these characters, not trying to create long drawn-out stories and trying to be like Marvel. The new Joaquin Phoenix Joker film, I cannot wait for that movie to come out. Oh my goodness. It's a completely new and different take on the Joker. It is set in a time that is super relevant and super relatable. Joaquin Phoenix as a Joker is going to blow me away. I said it from gate when it was first announced. Because Joaquin Phoenix is an amazing actor. And it's so different, yet so familiar. And again, this is where DC is going to win if they keep up with this formula, in my opinion. And I think this is how they need to continue to do it. Don't worry about long, drawn-out stories and leading to this big old thing. You know, that's been done before. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has done that. Give us individual stories and give us fun. Give us escapism. Give us all of that. Speaking of escapism, Shazam did a great job at escapism. They snuck in that little. They snuck in a little bit of social stuff. They snuck it in there. It was like one or two lines. A lot of you guys who listen for that stuff may be keen on that. You guys may pick up on something. I did. But overall, this was a great escapist film. And DC is good at that. Escapist films. You know, there's no social justice stuff. It's a purely a comic book film made to have fun and just to have a good time. And that's what Shazam was. Shazam overall was just a good time. And I really, really recommend everybody go check out the movie. Go take a look and check it out for yourselves. It is really cool. Like I said, presentation-wise, it's lacking. They could have delayed it a little bit longer to polish up the special effects, make it cleaner, make it look good. But despite that gripe, overall, Shazam was a really, really good movie, guys. And I really recommend you guys go check it out and see it. Some of my favorite parts in the movies where he's, learning how to use his powers. There's so much more I want to say, but I'll be spoiling the film and I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it is a really good film. So definitely go and check it out and let me know what you think. I would love to hear you guys' feedback on the movie. Love to hear what you guys think of Zachary Levi, Mark Strong, and the rest of the cast in their jobs in the movie. There's a huge surprise in the film that kind of had to happen that I really enjoyed. It's a good film, guys. It's a really, really good film, and I definitely recommend you guys go see it. Okay, so if you guys see the movie, I want you guys to tell me what you guys think of the film. Hit me up on Instagram, the Stuff Podcast Show. Hit me up on a DM. Hit me up on Twitter, the Stuff IDW. Hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up. Email the Stuff Podcast Show at gmail.com. Let me know what you thought of the movie as a whole. Do you guys agree with me? Do you guys think I've been a little bit harsh? Do you guys think the movie was good as is? I mean, because some of you guys, I think, the movie was cool. I've known a lot of people who like movies that are kind of incomplete. There was this kind of off subject a little bit, but still on subject. There was this animated film that my son loved when he was a little kid, little baby. It's called Over the Hedge. It was a film with Bruce Willis, Jada Pinkett Smith. It was a lot of, I was Avril Lavigne, Eugene Levy. It was a bunch of star-studded animated film. And it was a good film, great story, great everything. But the film to me just didn't look finished. It was like they rushed it and put it together because it was compete with the Shreks and the Toy Stories and the Despicable Me's. I remember looking at that movie and they concentrated on the woodland creatures and their surroundings looked great, but when it came out to everything else, everything just looked like a background. Like it wasn't finished. Like there was this element of the movie that just was missing and wasn't finished and it wasn't completed. And I can never get over that feeling looking at that movie. So when I see Shazam and saw the special effects and how obviously rushed it was because of the lack of polish, that's kind of what it reminded me of. So there's some people who've seen that movie and they're like, oh my God, Over the Hedge, I'm like, oh my God, that's the greatest, that's one of my favorite films. And it's a good film, but some people don't mind that too much. So if you don't mind that and you like it and you can, see over that, more power take it, But let me know, because I would love to know what you guys think and what your thoughts are after you see the film, and what you guys think of DC's direction and so where they seem to be going with their movies. I'd like to know your thoughts on that too. So, anyways, thanks so much for listening to this segment. Let's move on to our next segment, shall we? So, real talk right now, I'm doing car shopping on Craigslist. I don't know. I mean, I have an idea of what I'm looking for in a car. Right now, I got this hoop-de-wop of a car that is constantly giving me adventures. I'm not going to say trouble. I'm going to say adventures. And, I put a lot of money into this vehicle so far. I'm done. I'm done. I'm kind of looking for something that's more reliable, that's going to allow me to go see my son with no problems. It's going to get me to work, point A, point B, a good gas saver. But I'm cheap. I'm also looking for a cheaper looking car. I live out here in Monterey. Used cars are a grip of money for no reason. I'm talking about 30-year-old car, 20, 30-year-old cars. They still want you to pay like 3 and 4 grand for them. And it's like, nah, bro, I'm good. I'm going to head over. I'm looking at Craigslist in Sacramento for cars too. you know, and those cars are way cheaper out there, you know, way cheaper. So, you know, I ran across a Honda Accord, which is super nice. It was only like $500, something like that. Now they got stick shift too. But problem with that is I don't know how to drive no stick. I should learn. I should learn. But do I want to take the time to learn a stick and jack up the transmission in the process? Not really. Not really. Call me lazy. That's what I am. I'll own it. But that's where I'm at right now. But in order to get a good deal on a decent car, I'm willing to travel at least all the way to Sacramento for it. Look at it right now. I'm on Craigslist right now looking at a car in Lincoln. And the vehicle's $800. Okay. Runs great, but doesn't drive at the moment. Willing to work on price. Now he's offering it for $800, which is low enough already. Okay, see, I'm looking at the top of the front of this thing. This hoop-de-wop is crashed all up in the front. So that's going to be a no-go for me. I don't have time to do body work on this, on anything right now. You know, I don't. So I'm looking for, you know, the kind of car that I've looked into. I'm looking for three different cars, okay? I want a 1992 to 96 Buick Park Avenue. Why? Because it's got those awesome plushy seats. Awesome plushy seats. It's got that good technology. You know, that was supposed to be legit back in the 90s. You know, you turn up the volume on your steering wheel and the wheel and the turning knob goes up at the same time. That's kind of dope. You know, I want that. It's got the little light panel switch above, you know, above the dash where it looks like you're on the bridge of the Enterprise, which is cool. Yeah, it's a big old yacht of a car. You know, it's a granddad car, actually. But I want it. And the seats, oh my goodness, it's plushy plush. I like those pillow top seats that they got in there. The body style looks cool. Super reliable. You know, that's something I'm looking for. So I'm looking for a Buick Park Avenue. They're pretty rare cars, too. The ones I found are in, like, across the country. I mean, it is not a game. I mean, those things are far away. But, you know, if I could get my hands on a 92, 96 Buick Park Avenue, happy dude right here. For a decent price, too. Right now, currently, I got $1,200. So, you know, that's what I've got. I'm not trying to spend all $1,200 on the car, though, really. And, of course, I'm going to save more because I'm going to have a little bit more in a little bit. But that's what I got. They got a Buick LeSabre here. Is the LeSabre good enough? Meh. I'm looking for a 92 Honda Accord. No, 92 to 2002 Honda Accord. Got to be automatic again. You know, I just don't want there to be tons of problems with it. Paint job is not that big a deal to me. I just want the interior to be decent. And I want things just to work. I just want this to be able to get me to where I need to go, where I need to get it. You know, I'm not looking for a whole bunch. You know what I mean? And I'm not looking to make a whole bunch of payments either. So that's why I kind of rather get one from a private buyer. Because then that way I won't have a car payment. Because car payments are just, oh, that's more money coming out of my pocket and out of my, you know, out of everything every single month. I'm just not there, people. Ew, no, I don't want that. Don't want it. And then I'm also looking for a 95 to 2005 Toyota Camry. So, same reason. Reliability. You know, just really good cars. You know. So, you know, if I could get something like that, that is going to... Ooh, look at this. Okay, 98 Toyota Camry. It needs steering column. No, thank you. This is a good segment. It's just having me perusing through Craigslist looking for cars. Shopping with you guys while you guys are going on the adventure with me. Okay, I got a 1997 Honda Accord right here. These guys want $1,199, pretty much $1,200. It's red. It's salvaged. Buyer must obtain title from the DMV. That means that you don't have the original title from the buyer. Okay, boom. You know what? I just thought of something. This is a great idea. This is a great segment, actually. I could start sharing my knowledge, my DMV knowledge with people. Kind of help them get the upper hand a little bit on how to do stuff. So when you go to DMV, you ain't gonna be one of those people that just says crazy stuff to people all the time, or to the DMV workers, you know? So pretty much I'll be doing a service to my fellow peeps in the state. You know? I think, you know what, I should think about that. I'm gonna write that down. It's part of one of my ideas. What to look for when getting a car. You know, don't get no hoopty-wop. Because hoopty-wops are just going to be nothing but more trouble for you. You know, I'm going to go to SAC to get a car. Okay, 1999 Toyota Camry. Here, it's a decent color. It's like a tannish color. Salvaged also. Must get title from DMV. It's got a tail on it that's funky. And it's one of those as-is things. See, this is the problem. I don't know about the salvage yard things. I'm kind of leery about that because a lot of times those things will have a lot of problems that they don't want to tell you about. You know what I mean? They're at the tow yard or at the mechanic for a reason, right? So there's obviously something up with the vehicle where it's something up that they're not telling you, which is not cool. Okay, Toyota Camry here. That's not Camry. The person just totally. Yeah, when they don't put the plate on here too, I'm just like, 140,000 miles. Yeah, I think I'm gonna be going to SAC for a car, guys. I think that's something I might have to do. You know? Anyway, I'm not gonna spend this whole entire segment looking at cars, but I've had, oh, what is this? What is this? Hold on, I'm sorry. 2000 Toyota Camry 900. Needs engine work. That's all you had to say to me to pass this up. Interior looks clean though. Interior looks real clean. I wish I knew what the engine work that was needed was though. You know what? Does it need spark plugs? Does it need new belts? Hoses? What? Radiator? What do you need? Thermostat? What? See, they need to, I think on Craigslist ads, they need to explain that information more. Yeah, that would be good. That would be nice. That would be nice. There's a lot of cars out in SAC, y'all. A lot of them. I think real talk. I'm thinking that might be where I'm going. Ooh, 2001 Honda Accord, 189,000 miles. Oxygen sensor got stolen. No, thank you. That means whoever stole this car ripped out all the parts. It's probably stinking Frankenstein at this point, and I'm not trying to get a Frankenstein car because that's just going to be more problems down the line. So, anyway, one of the things definitely I recommend when you guys go out to get a car, because I'm sure there's going to be some of y'all who's out here getting vehicles of your own. This car got straight up no hood on it. They took a picture from the back of this piece. And it's like, oh, the back looks great. Then you go to the next picture, there is no hood. That's like seeing a chick with no wig on. When she take off a wig and you see the naps underneath. That's what that was right there. That's funny. When you guys get a car, before you get a car, you know, you need to, before you commit, you need to go get information on the car. Be smart. Be smart, okay? I've seen too many times where you'll have people come in with no paperwork on the vehicle, nothing. They don't know the VIN number to the car. They don't know the plates. They don't know none of that stuff. And then they get there, they bought the car, and then all of a sudden they feel that they got thousands of dollars in fees, and you're responsible for all them fees. You got to pay all of that, okay? So, you know, don't go the lazy route and not do your research on the vehicle. If there's a vehicle that you like that you see, whether it's on Craigslist, whether it's sitting out on the side of the street, or whatever, one, get as much information off the car as you can. The VIN number, the plate. See if you can go to your local DMV, get some information on the car. Go to Carfax, whatever the case. Find out if it's salvage. If you're not trying to get a salvage car, you know, make sure you get that information. Go on Carfax. go to the DMV, make sure there ain't a bunch of fees on it. Because, you know, these guys might be selling you a car for, you know, $200 and $300, $500. But you don't know that you got to pay fees, you know, that date back to like 2006. You know, I had a person come in one time and had to pay fees upwards of over $2,000. You know, they thought they had a good deal. And the person disappeared after they sold the car because they knew what was up. They knew what was up. They knew what it was doing. Sold the car to the guy, poor dude, for $300. Thought he had a good deal. Was telling me about it. Oh, it runs perfect. It does this. It does that. Oh, man, it's so amazing. I got such a great deal. I just only had $300. It was such a good deal. I bring that thing up. I'm like, okay, sir, your total comes to $2,000. Da, 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 da. This dude turned white in the face. White. Could not pay it. Couldn't do anything. And, you know, I just felt bad for him. Felt bad. Because, you know, dude got gypped. Pure and simple. Plain and simple. Just got gypped. So, you know, really pays to do your research. You know, really do everything you can to find out whatever information you can about the car you're buying. You know? And then, another thing, if possible, let me tell you something. If somebody really wants to sell you a car and the car, they say it's running and it's doing that, whatever, bring a mechanic friend with you, one. And number two, let them, allow them, ask them if you could test drive the vehicle. Drive it around first. Drive it around. If they don't want you to drive it around, you could leave it right there where it is. Because that means they're not really in that much of a hurry to sell the car. If they're trying to sell the car, they're going to do anything they can to get that car out of their problems. Now if you want a hoopty and you're trying to do a project car or trying to refurb something, that's a different story. But if you're looking for a reliable vehicle, you know, and you're there and the car looks nice, you're satisfied with the interiors, you're satisfied with everything with it, ask them to test drive the vehicle. If they're scared and don't, no, I'm afraid you'll take my car, well then have them come with you. Simple. You know? They can explain to you what the problem is. And it's funny, too, because then when you're in the car, you know, you're driving, you're having a good time, whatever. Oh, okay, this drive's pretty nice. Then you can look at them and just be like, okay, now what's wrong with the car? It'd be amazing how much information they'll start to kind of spell out, kind of telling the truth about what's going on with the car. Then you can make an informed decision while you're listening to everything that they're telling you also. You know, they're either going to sell it to you, they're going to tell you the truth, or they're going to jip you, whatever. But like I said, after, I would do all the research on the vehicle before you go and check out the car physically and do the whole test drive thing. If you see it, get the information off the car. Do your due diligence first and then go and contact the person and see if you could do some kind of, test drive on the vehicle to make sure it's good, you know. And another thing, too. If you bring a mechanic friend with you, it's cool too, because then they're going to be even more forced to tell the truth, because, you know, they're not going to hide. If that mechanic friend jumps in the car with you, because the first thing they're going to do, your mechanic friend's going to try to do everything they can to get you to not buy the car, right? So with that dynamic there, you know, you got the mechanic friend saying, well, this is something up here. This is something wrong here. This here's got this problem. This here's got that problem. You never know. Whatever price they're asking for, when that mechanic friend gets in there and sees all these here problems, they'll probably knock down the car a couple $100. Never know. Why? Because they're going to do everything they can to try to sell the car to you. If you go there by yourself, okay, you could say all these things that are wrong with the car. They'll knock it down maybe a $50, $100, something like that. You know, but you know, it's less likely. But you bring that mechanic friend that's just like comes in with their sensors and starts looking at stuff, they're gonna get annoyed and be like, oh, okay, this dude's serious, they don't know, man. Oh, you know, and hey, you could end up getting yourself a bargain of a car. And all the whole time, they play that role of, hey, I don't think you should buy this car. You know, I don't think that's a good investment because you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you know, and you're getting that done. So if you get the price knocked down, you could use the rest of the money that you were going to use to buy the car to do whatever repairs and maintenance on it that is necessary. You know, just a little hearsay. I'm by no means no car expert, okay? So I'm not going to sit here and act like I know everything about cars. I mean, I did sell cars for a couple of years. I have bought used cars. I have done that, but I'm not an expert. Okay. And then working at my job with the DMV, again, I've seen some things. So I'm just coming at you guys with common sense and me being in the business just for a little bit of time with the common sense that I know and that I've, encountered to kind of give you guys some information. There's some ladies out there maybe trying to get their first car, some teenagers, some built up a little bit of cash and are ready to get their first car. By the way, firm believer, first car a teenager should have should not be a brand new car. It should not be a brand new car. It needs to be a used car. And the reason why it needs to be a used car, responsibility. That is the very first reason. Because you get all these kids out here talking about, oh, I want a car, get fancy, they want to get the best looking car, look at, what? And then they don't take care of it. They don't do what they're supposed to do, And then, oh, I can't take it to the dealership because I got to get, I'm doing this. Oh, I don't have time, or I forgot, And the car lasts a period of time, and they can go longer because, they're not gonna have problems. They can, drag out the problems or issues with the car for a longer period of time than most, And then when something really happens, then it's falling all on the parents. It's all this your money. Nah, get them a used car. Because here's what's gonna happen. They're gonna come across. They'll get a flat tire. They'll start freaking out. What are you gonna do? Oh, look at that! You got a flat tire. Guess what you get to do? You get to learn how to fix a flat tire. Oh, something's out on the car. Guess what? You get to learn how to do this on the vehicle. It's called adulting, people. It's called you getting a car equals responsibility. And by the way, kids, teenagers, you guys get in the car, y'all think you're getting freedom? No. Your parents just got an extra person, an extra body to go run errands for you. For secrets. Okay? Secret exposed. Okay? Secret exposed. But know what you're getting into, because that's a part of the responsibility, too. So yes, I, as a parent, as a father, I didn't expose it. I'm sorry to rescue parents. It is what it is. Your kids are hard-headed though. They're still gonna ask you for the car, so you really ain't got nothing to worry about, because they think you're playing. So, but yeah, get a used car. Show them what real responsibility is with a car. Once you find that they can handle that, and they can be responsible with that first, and then. You see them start saving their money and doing all they can to work on a car and keep the car in good shape. Then you can just observe and be like, you know what? Okay, they deserve a new car. They deserve a nice car. Because then you already know that they can handle the responsibility of a nice vehicle and have nice things to be responsible with it. That's just my personal belief. That's just what I think. I think it. I think it would do more good for kids, for teenagers and young kids to have that first. I was talking to one of my workmates about drivers and things like that. Again, we get all kinds of adventures and people coming in. Kids don't know how to change their tires. Kids don't know how to change spark plugs. They don't know how to do it. I wasn't taught any of that stuff. I honestly had to learn that myself. Thank you, YouTube University. Big shouts. I had to learn those things on my own. And, I think, if you're going to a driving school or you're doing something like that, it shouldn't just be showing you how to drive. A driving school should teach you how to do basic maintenance on your vehicle. Change the tire, change the oil, change your spark plugs, installing and, changing the batteries. Those basic things. How to put in gas, y'all. What to look for when you're going to do an oil change on your vehicle. All those different things. Car maintenance. Basic car maintenance. It should be driving school encompassing all those different things, not just how to drive on the road. It should be basic car care also. Because again, you don't know how to do none of that stuff. You get stranded out in the cuts, and then you get the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Michael Voorhees and Jason Voorhees and Mike Myers all at the same time trying to slice you up out in the middle of a cornfield. And you're gonna be upset because you're gonna be out there because you didn't know how to change no tire, and you'd have ran out of all four of your free things, free uses of AAA in the year because you didn't lock your keys in the car, or you don't know how to change a battery or do some tires or know how to jump a car. That's on you. So I think personally, driving school should teach those basic things. You know, that's just me. That's just my opinion. Anyway, what do you guys think about all that? I mean, do you think that that makes sense? Does it sound right? I do. But I could be wrong, and that's okay. But I would love to hear what you guys think. In fact, I want to hear you guys' hoopty stories. I want to hear you guys' car stories, car shenanigans that have happened. I definitely have some. I run a 98 Nissan Maxima given to me by my dad. Love you, daddy. I've had more adventures with that car than I can count. One of the ones I can vividly remember, I'm always having issues with this car, but one of the ones that really stand out is, I was very timid on taking this vehicle out long distance. My son lives out in the Bay Area, and I was going to go get him for the summer, and I went out there to pick him up personally. And so I drive out there, I get there, no problems, spend a little time with him before bringing him back. You know, I was having a good time. I'm like, yeah, all right, the car made it. You know, it's all good. Man, I'm so happy. Awesome. Great. Driving back home. I'm down 280. It's one of the major highways out here in the Bay Area. Driving down the 280 on the way back, and the car starts shaking violently. Boom. Sure enough, had to pull over. The car starts smoking. Radiator hose blew out. Bam, just, nightmare. Terrible. I had to pull over side road. And I was in the fast lane too, which is the worst place for something to happen to your car. Because if you got to pull over, you can't get over. Fortunate for me, Highway Patrol just happened to see me blow up. I mean, had it been a millisecond later, I'd have been done. He wouldn't have seen me. I'd have just been stranded out there forever. It would have been terrible. So me and my son are out there in the car, stranded. And then the Highway Patrol fortunately saw everything happen. He pulls over. He does that little lane split thing that he does. He hops on his car, does that little cool lane split thing where they go side to side across the highway to slow the flow of traffic. And allows me to, you know, bring the car over to, I turned the car back on after it cooled down just a little bit, brought the car over to the right side of the lane, and got it back, you know, got it over there to safety. But yeah, I had to take a lift home. Good thing I had the money. Then the next day I had to figure out a way to tow it all the way back to where I live in Monterey. It was terrible, and I was just so annoyed. Again, so many other stories with that car. It's ridiculous. It was ridiculous. So that's why I'm just like at a point with this vehicle where I'm just like, you know, and my dad keeps telling me, hey man, drop that thing off a cliff. I don't care. But it's like, I can't do that because I feel bad. You know, I don't just want to just abandon the car, you know, because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if, I don't know. I just don't want to, do that. I should, but I don't. So yeah, but I am tired of putting so much money into it. But yeah, that's one of my stories. Again, I would love to hear you guys' stories. Contact me anywhere. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can shoot me an email, thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. Instagram, thestuffpodcastshow. Twitter, thestuffidw. And shoot me your stories and your tweets about your car shenanigans. And let me see if I possibly share them on in a segment of What You Say, Bruh? And get those popping. I think that'd be a lot of good time for comedy there. So, anyways, hope to hear you guys' stories. So, I'm going to go ahead and stop here for today. We're going to call it for this episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. I appreciate you guys again taking the time to listen. If you guys have any comments, any feedback, or anything like that, please be sure to leave me an email I'm drawing a blank right now because I'm being slow. draw me a blank. What is my problem? Wow. Go ahead and leave me an email at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. hit me up and leave me a DM on Instagram at The Stuff Podcast Show or on Twitter at The Stuff IDW. So look forward to hearing you guys. Thank you so much for watching. And I will see you guys again next week. Thank you so much. Talk to you guys later. Peace out.